Life has spiritual tsunamis that come at you and want to suck you down and suck you in.
But Dr. Tony Evans says having the Lord in your life makes you much stronger than any storm.
Because he who started a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When our plans and dreams are blown away, Dr. Evans says the Lord is still in control of those who trust in Him. And today, we'll see how the storms of life can actually benefit us as they guide us toward greater things. Let's join Dr. Evans.
Mark 4, verse 35. And on the day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the multitude, they took along with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's almost time to cross over, church. Now, I remember in school, I didn't mind tests, but I hated pop quizzes because tests were always predictable. Midterm, finals, major exam. But I didn't like pop quizzes because they could come up at any time. Jesus was with his disciples. He said, "Let us go to the other side." And up comes a pop quiz. He'd been teaching them all day, teaching the multitudes, giving them information. And all year, especially those of you who have been members of this church, have been hearing the word of God over and over and over again. I'm sure there's going to be a pop quiz. In the text, it says that there arose a fierce gale. In the Greek, the word fierce gale is the word lilac. We were over in Israel. We got on the Sea of Galilee and we learned about the lilacs. The lilacs are big winds that swoop down in the cavern of the Sea of Galilee and ruffle up the water all of a sudden. They seem to come out of nowhere. And I can guarantee you trouble is going to come out of nowhere. You're going to be moseying on along doing your Jesus thing, and out of nowhere, something is going to ruffle up in the sea of your life. Something is going to come and stir up the waters of your existence. And that's what happened. There arose a lilac, a fierce gale of wind. It was beating against the boat. And it says the boat was filling up. In the midst of your new year, they're going to arrive circumstances beyond your control. Things that you didn't count on. Things that you didn't bank on that are going to disrupt the normal flow of your crossing over. As you cross over, there are going to be things that you didn't anticipate that are going to pop up. In the midst of this, it says that his disciples noticed that Jesus was asleep in the stern on a cushion, and they woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The storm outside, the lilac, led to a storm inside. External problems brought internal fear. Here we have the disciples on a boat with Jesus Christ, and when things turn upside down, inside things begin to turn upside down. And you know how it is when the doctor's not sure of what the tests are going to say. The storm on the outside produces the storm on the inside. When things break down and you don't know how you're going to pay them, the storm on the outside brings concern on the inside. My mother had to be rushed to the hospital, and the storm on the outside led to a storm on the inside. That's a lilac, a call that you didn't expect, a situation that you didn't count on. And if you don't watch it, it'll make you question Jesus. It says, do you not care that we are perishing? Whenever the storms on the outside cause you to question whether Jesus cares on the inside, you know you're looking at the wrong S word. You're looking at the storm and you've misplaced the Savior. The storm on the inside made them ask the theological question, do you not care? What's Jesus doing sleep at a time like this? I know you've been in that situation where Jesus is on a cushion, it appears, when he ought to be bailing water out of the boat alongside of you. If he really cared, would he be asleep at a time like this? If he really cared, wouldn't he be up and about making my concern his concern? Be careful that your circumstances don't control your theology. That the things on the outside that produce unrest on the inside don't produce misinformation about Jesus. But at least I like this one thing about the disciples. They knew where to go with their problem. It says that they went over and they aroused him. I like James Cleveland put it this way. Get up, Jesus. This wasn't no polite just go over and say, you want to get up? They aroused him. They shook him out of his sleep. Because even though their theology was wrong, their direction was right. They knew where to look at midnight. They knew where to look when their world was coming apart and death was on the horizon. And I hope you know where to look. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to come and promise you there'll be no problems. I'm not one of those ministers that's going to promise you there's going to be total prosperity, no sickness, no tragedy, no trauma, no negative circumstances. To tell you that would be to play God, and I'm not God. There's only room for one God. I'm not he. But I am going to tell you where you can find him when the lilacs in your life shake up. It says that they came to Jesus, aroused him. He being aroused, rebuked the wind and the sea, said, hush, be still. Now that's interesting. One version puts it, peace, be still. And I like that because what that means is that it was peace that was causing the problem. So he tells peace that was causing the problem to shut up and be still. You see, when you're with Jesus in the right place, at the right time, a storm is peace. So it's peace when he calms it, or it's peace when you're in the middle of it because it's his storm. This was a pop quiz. What Jesus wanted to know was whether what they learned on Sunday they were going to use in the lilac on Monday. He wanted to know when the service was over, when B.B. Winans had gone home, when the choir had finished singing, did we still know where to go at midnight? Did we still know what to do when our world was going to be shaken apart? And so Jesus Christ comes and he calms the peace that he in fact stirred up when he allowed the storm to come their way. Listen to me. If you are in the will of God, there will no storm come into your life that doesn't first pass through his fingers. If you're in the will of God, there is no situation in your new year that will come that doesn't pass him first. Anything that gets to you had to bypass him. It had to come to you by his permission. So I'm here to tell you today, there are going to be some lilacs in your life. But there will be nothing in your life so big that he can't handle. And so look at what he does. He comes to them in the perfect calm and asks them a very provocative question. He says, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? Listen to those words. Why are you so fearful, timid, and how is it that you have no faith? Now, when you first read that, you empathize with the disciples, not with Jesus. The boat's filling up, and I'm going under. I'm sinking. In fact, there are probably some folks sinking right now. You're sinking financially, you're sinking emotionally, you're sinking attitudinally, you're sinking circumstantially, you are sinking and you are going under. Jesus' question is my question. Why are you so timid? And why is it that you have no faith? The question is, but how can you ask that question, Jesus? I'm dying out here. It's raining out here. It's storming out here. My boat's going under. How can you raise the question? There are four reasons Jesus raises the question about their timidity. Number one, They had the promise of God. What did Jesus say? He said in verse 35, let us go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. When you're in a problem, don't forget the promises. They let their circumstance dictate what they believe, which caused them to forget what God had said. And he said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say it wasn't no storm on our way to the other side. He said, we're going to get to the other side. What God wanted to test is would they believe his word or would they believe their circumstances? Would they believe his word or would they believe their problems? Would they believe what he said or would they believe what the weatherman said? Who are you going to believe was the question. They had God's promise. Not only did they have God's promise, they had God's presence. Jesus was on the boat.
Dr. Evans has an illustration that'll help clear things up, and he'll share it with us in just a moment when he comes back with part two of this final message in his series, Expecting God's Best in the New Year. That makes today your last chance to take advantage of our special offer for those who can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station and expand it around the world where the gospel is so desperately needed. As a way of saying thanks for your contribution, we'll send you the full-length versions of all four lessons in this teaching collection, Expecting God's Best in the New Year, including quite a bit of bonus material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. They focus on building confidence, beating worry, expanding your vision, and holding on during tough times. Just make your donation online at tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. Either way, we'll send you a copy of Expecting God's Best in the New Year as our way of investing in you when you invest in us. I'll have our contact information for you again later on after Dr. Evans brings us part two of today's lesson. Let's join him.
Hey, there's one thing you want to do this year, and that is stay close to God. For you visitors, I shared with our congregation a couple of weeks ago, Pluto is the furthest from the sun, and it's real cold. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, and it's real hot. Most people I know like to live on planet Earth, where it's hot and cold. Some of you are so far from Christ that when you go under, you're going to be freezing to death. Some of you are so close to Christ that the heat of his love will keep you fired up no matter what your circumstance. Some of us are planet Earth, up one day, down the next day, hot and cold. God wants us hot for him. He wants us close to him so that his heat, his love, his power rubs off on us. They had Christ's presence. But not only did they have Christ's word or his promise, not only did they have Christ's presence, but they saw Christ's peace. What was Jesus doing in the storm? He was asleep. Find out what Jesus is doing and you do the same thing. Jesus was asleep. He was laying down, sleep in the midst of the storm. Now, why was Jesus asleep? Because he trusted his Father like he wants us to trust him. In the storm, find out what the Father wants and do what the Father wants. Jesus went to sleep in the midst of a storm because he knew the storm wasn't the bottom line. The bottom line was God told him to tell them, we going to the other side. But not only did they have Christ's promise, not only did they have Christ's presence, not only did they have Christ's peace, but they had Christ's power. Up until this time, they had seen Jesus do miracles. They knew what he could do. And some of you thought in July that you weren't going to make it. Some of you wanted to know how you were going to eat, and you're eating. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Remember Christ's power. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life because he is sovereign over the circumstances of life. And I like the last verse, verse 41. It says, and they became very much afraid. If you're going to fear something, fear Christ, not your problems. If you're going to fear something, see, first they were afraid of the circumstance, then they saw Jesus and got afraid of Jesus. If you're going to be afraid of something, become afraid of the person who's bigger than your problem, not your problem itself. We fear our problems more than we fear the Lord. It says that they very much feared him. Who is this who can do such a thing? And I don't know what awaits you, and you don't know what awaits me, but I know the Lord waits on all of us. He is sufficient for whatever we need. A little boy was riding on a plane with his friends, and he was sitting on the plane, and they hit turbulence. And you know, turbulence can make you a little edgy. It can throw you a little off. And the plane was violently being thrown around. He was playing with toys in his seats while all the rest of the passengers were screaming. One of the ladies behind said, "Son, how can you be laughing and giggling and playing when we're in this kind of turbulence?" The boy looked back and said, "Because my father's flying the plane." When you know who's in the cockpit and you hit the turbulence, you can be okay. When you know who has the controls and things look out of control, you can be okay. Remember, when the turbulence hits you, your father's in the cockpit. And he has the controls, and he who crossed you over will take you through. Is God in the cockpit of your life? Is he is the one running the controls, or are you still running your own life? Living your own existence, being your own God, master of your own fate, captain of your own life. I want to challenge you right now to deliver all of your life over to Christ. If you're not a Christian, that means trusting him to be your savior, because he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And knowing that you can never save yourself, you place your eternal destiny in his hands. If he is your savior, make him your Lord. Submit all of life to him. And when the problems come, say, "Thank you for the pop quiz, because I'm prepared to take the test." Give him glory for what you expect him to do. Give him glory for what you're going to trust him to do. And I want you to join him on the cushion. Instead of worrying, I want you to lay down with him as you cross over. I want you to bless his name for how he's going to use this lilac in your life to take you to the other side. I want you to take with you by faith and deliver it to him. And if he's going to be on the pillar, ain't no need in you staying up. You get on the pillar with him and entrust your new year to the Lord. Life has spiritual tsunamis that come at you and overwhelm you and want to suck you down and suck you in. But if you put your eyes to the hills, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, then you will discover that when you come toward him, you're not sucked down by the circumstances, sucked down by the problems, sucked down by the difficulties. Because he who started a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In this new year, as we go to the other side of one year to another year, as you make your transition, and as the challenges of the storm raise its head up along the way, while we are waiting for God to calm the circumstances, you need him to calm the storm inside. See, circumstances outside are only bad because of what it does for us inside. You see, that's what makes it bad. Jesus says, you can be okay while the storm is raging because I'm here. My presence secures you while you're struggling to get to where I told you to go. There are two reasons you're in a storm. God allows you to get in a storm because he wants to correct you or because he wants to perfect you. Storms exist by way of correcting wrong in our lives, and storms exist by way of taking us to the next spiritual level. You're in the middle of a storm, and you have absolutely no control because the waves are running the show. That's a bad situation. You're trying to do it the way God told you to do it. You wouldn't even be in this mess if you weren't trying to obey. You can't go the way you're supposed to go. You can't get there because stuff keeps getting in the way. Contrary. I want you to know individually and for us collectively as a church, he knows you're scared. In fact, he knew the storm was coming. I don't know what this new year holds for you. I don't know what you're coming off of, and I don't know where God has you personally headed, but I do know he knows where you are. He knows your situation. He is intimately aware of it. And guess what he's doing? Praying for you. I'm not going to stop the storm. I'm not going to interrupt the storm. I'm going to pray you grow from this storm. What's Jesus' prayer for you and me and for us? Is that we perceive the opportunity when we're facing the inclement weather of circumstance as a faith moment for growth. Right now, everyone stand right where you are. And I want right now you to take in your mind's eye, I want you to take all of the lilacs, all of the trials, and say, Lord, by faith, I give thanks. I give thanks that you're going to use this trial to grow me up and to make me a stronger Christian. I give thanks that you're going to take this new year and make me the man or woman you want me to be. I give thanks for what you're doing in my life, even though I don't understand how you allow the storm. I'm going to trust you in the storm right now. Raise your voice to God and say, Lord, I'm going to stop fearing and start trusting. I'm going to not let Satan rob me of my joy. I'm going to trust you for the new year. I'm going to believe you for the new year. I'm going to expect you in the new year. I'm going to live for you in the new year. Oh, give your life back over to him. Right now, deliver yourself over to him for the new year. Let him know that he can have you completely. Bless his name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you for the storm, because now I'll see you take me through it. Thank you for the rain, because now I'll see that you can stop it. I trust you, Lord, for the new year. Give you glory. Bless your name.
If you've never handed your life over to God the way Dr. Evans was describing, you can do that today and celebrate not just the new year, but a whole new life. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to explain. First, though, don't miss your last chance to get a copy of Tony's current series as our gift. It's called Expecting God's Best in the New Year, and we'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks for your contribution toward Tony's ministry. In addition to continuing the broadcast on this station, we're looking forward to expanding into Israel, Africa, Australia, and the Middle East during the coming year. But that can only happen with your help. Remember, this special offer ends today, so there's no more time to wait. Make your donation today, and let us send you a copy of Expecting God's Best in the New Year. As always, the place to go for details is tonyevans.org, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Our version of reality is made up of the things we know and the things we only think we know. Dr. Evans will help us learn to recognize the difference on Monday as he kicks off a new series on what it really means to be free. Right now, though, he's back to share a final thought and an important invitation.
A lot of people exist, but don't feel like they're living. The good news of the gospel is Jesus came to give you life. That is, the experience of God's reality operating within you. That's what the Bible calls eternal life. So he gives you heaven as a location, but eternal life is an experience, and he gives it to you for free. That's what grace is about. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be religious enough to get it, but you can receive it. And so God offers the opportunity for you right now to receive the forgiveness of sins and the free gift of eternal life, which will set in motion a whole lifelong experience of growing in the knowledge of God. So let's get this thing started right now by you going to Jesus Christ and saying to him, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross in my place for my sin. I now accept you as my personal substitute. Come into my life. I receive you now as my only Savior. I receive the gift of eternal life that you promised to give me if I came to you for it. Thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.